close.
She's in there.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, March 27, 2018. It's 2 p.m. We're in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room for Legal Counsel Update. Commissioner present, Commissioner Hare, Commissioner DeYoung, Commissioner Morgan's on her way. Commissioner Morgan's here. Great, thank you. And Sarah Wright, Peggy Anderson.
Pat Ellison,
I was trying to remember the last name. And Wally Hicks present.
What's really tough are those staff that change their last name, and it's like, I don't care if you got married or not.
Steve.
Sorry.
Yep, her name is Steve. Yeah.
Anyway. Old habits.
Page two. We'll start with page two, draft item number one, draft board order number 2018-005. In the matter of the adoption of administrative policy and procedure E5, marijuana use and marijuana themed events in county property. Today is Tuesday. It is 2:01 p.m.
Okay, the order would amend the administrative policy and procedure manual to incorporate the new policy of the board and the collective feedback. I've been collecting feedback, and there may be a little bit more still to come in. So
I think we're in the home stretch. We were really close before. We were about to send this to a weekly business session, and then I think Sarah or Peggy or both said that there was a hole, that there was a need to shore up in this order and administrative policy. So I figured it's been a little while, but they're the spring is here. People are proposing such events on county property, either at the fairgrounds or in one of our parks. And I think it's really clear. My first, before we get into some of the concerns that you guys have, I think what gets us here is some things that have changed. And the removal of the Cole memorandum, what's the correct word? The administration pulled it, basically.
Rescinded.
Rescinded, that's the right word. And then it's mentioned in the administrative rule, but it's not mentioned in the order. One of the large things is the fact that public consumption is still illegal in public spaces, and all of these would constitute as public spaces. So I think either including in an existing whereas or a separate whereas, both the Cole memorandum being rescinded and public consumption is still illegal, and we don't want to, the word that might encourage, I think that's something that there's a word here that's used, and those are things that I think should be included in the whereas in the order.
Okay,
that's what I have.
And those,
the only question I would have is, did state law change this year? Public consumption is,
we talked about that earlier on the radio, about that you can serve edibles apparently at an expo event that is showcasing cannabis products. And I don't know. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, how can the state legislature approve candy-like edibles to be offered at expos, yet public consumption of marijuana is still illegal? I don't know. But I think the state law is really what it's illegal federally to consume it publicly. And I don't think that we would like to encourage that on county property. So that's where I think you guys come into. What are the kind of applications that you're getting, and what do you need to help you define what it is that you can permit?
Sure.
Give.
Most of the events I'm concerned about, they're not events that say, we are marijuana events. In fact, all of mine, maybe not yours, but they say, no, we're just a music festival.
That's exactly what they say.
And that's great. My thing is, I think we should be setting up very clear definitions, perhaps that they have to have rules for attendees that are enforced. Perhaps their advertising needs to have something on it that says, no drugs, no alcohol, no pets. You know, whatever it is that their rules are, maybe they should just clearly state that marijuana is not allowed here. And if you look, it's a very large hemp festival in Portland in a park that borders the water. They clearly on their advertising says no marijuana. And then on their rules of their event, they also state that. And then as a further step, how do we expect their event to respond? Because people are going to show up with it in their pockets. It's an event. That's what people are going to do. And so what do we expect in order for them to comply? When marijuana starts being smoked, or if they see people with it, Should it be the person is absolutely removed from the property, no warning? Is it confiscated and destroyed? Do we tell them to put it away and then they kind of walk away and they keep doing it anyway? So that's what I would like to see. With this, it's a little vague on how I'm to determine if it's a marijuana-themed event, and then also what they are to do as far as an event to be compliant. With the way I read it, it could be interpreted that if I go to an event and see or smell it, that I immediately go to the event coordinator and say, all stop, shut down, vacate the property, everybody leaves. And I don't know that that's the proper way to handle that.
Do we define marijuana-themed event specifically anywhere?
No, but I would like to see the policy not to be towards a marijuana. Maybe we say we don't allow marijuana-themed events, period. And then furthermore, all events have to follow these guidelines or whatever you want to support. But whether it's a marijuana-themed or not, you have the potential for people showing up and using on your property. You also have the potential for vendors. I'll say this, at the event last year with Lake Selmac, Barter Fair, Papa's Dispensary put something on the table. And I caught it and said, absolutely not. You are violating OLCC law. This has to leave. I'm hoping that it left the property, but I don't know that for a fact. I'd also like to understand if OLCC is in the business of actually enforcing this. Like they do with alcohol events, they show up and they make sure everybody's in compliance with serving alcohol. Are they making sure vendors aren't selling it to the public? It'd be an interesting...
The question came up. And Peggy probably getting ready to, we have a deal out at the fairgrounds, isn't it from Master Gardeners or whatever the other night that was asking about, and they said they have one of their vendors wants to sell pipes and things of that sort.
Yes, it's come up through horse racing too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I didn't know how that knitted in.
Paraphernalia that's brand new. Yeah, it's another...
But if we have a marijuana-themed event, if that's not a marijuana-themed event, which it is not, it's Master Gardeners, do they just, where can they rule out this, the vendor that says, well, I'm going to have the pipes and the hookahs and the bongs and all of that other stuff? And how to grow, they want a trimming machines and a couple other things, you know, stuff involved with the industry. Is that considered a marijuana-themed vendor or booth or whatever?
I think so. I don't really mind if, you know, I think we're really looking out after the plant. The paraphernalia isn't illegal, and I don't think the trimming stuff or anything like that. I would like to see an event at the fairgrounds that, you know, might be centered on the cannabis industry, of the machines and best practices, talking about all that stuff. But they just can't have the product.
Okay.
It needs to state it in the contract that we have with the people that put it on the event.
I think the bond, it does. It talks about this in the administrative rules under the policy guidelines and procedures, the italicized portion, and maybe that can be clarified a little bit better. But I think the bond in Section B, at what point you determine that they have violated the intent of the event or the rules that they've been asked, I think we try to treat it like something else you would treat, like you referenced.
Like alcohol.
Like alcohol.
Yeah.
That if you're going to have an event that it has some sort of a focus on this issue, you have to have an OLCC officer present or something to that effect. And I would put another zero next to the $500. I would say it should be $5,000. And, you know, you lose your bond. $500 for anybody means nothing, you know, in an event that's going to bring in $10,000, $20,000 maybe. $500 is chump change, and they're going to make it up in whatever kind of, you know, libations, or they're selling baked goods because everybody's, you know what I mean? They're going to make it up real fast. $500 means nothing.
We require at the fairgrounds when they're even with alcohol, and I think since this is under OLCC, it should be looked at the same way, that they have to have licensed and bonded security there as well. Not just, you know, that are OLCC approved.
The challenge is that when you get something like one of your events, Sarah, and they're like, we put it on everything. We are not publicizing this as some sort of a marijuana event. Mm-hmm. Why are you holding us to the threshold of getting OLCC? We're not going to have anything like that here. So how far do you push them because there's a predisposition to somebody consuming cannabis? on as part of the event that, you know, some guy packing in a flask or whatever, is it that big a deal? It's not until they start getting out of control.
Right, out of control.
You, right. If you don't know about it, is it the end of the
right.
world? It's when they start getting belligerent and, you know, picking fights and falling over people and whatever. That's not okay.
Well, in some of the events, though, they'll tell you that nothing's going to be there, and it is definitely there. We had a music festival 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the band started, even though the contract was with the promoter, it stated very clearly he was going to use Lucy's deposit.
Yeah.
And his band started to throw some marijuana out into the ground.
And I think as long as the promoter's willing to, you know, sacrifice the $5,000, if that's the kind of event, you'll never be able to control.
He did sacrifice it, because we kept it.
You're never going to be able to control everything.
Right.
You just have to put
right.
regulations.
You have to do your best foot forward.
Yeah.
You have to make it expensive enough on him that when he loses that deposit or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
that it hurts a little bit.
Right.
On the candy, on the, like, the edibles and whatnot, are they supposed to post on there, like, for instance, they have a tray
yeah.
full of jujubes, are they supposed to have the THC content and stuff, just like if you had cigarettes there, as the Surgeon General says on the side of it?
It is very clear to see that it is a marijuana product. Yeah, it has a little leaf on it and the little percentage warning. Because I know when I showed Papa Subsensory, they said, we don't have anything like that. And I said, it's right here, this needs to disappear. And so it was very clear that it had it in the product. And I wasn't sure, it was kind of like, do I kick the vendor out as a whole? I felt like giving them a stern warning and having them remove it was enough in that situation. But I know I just don't want the problem to continue to grow.
Right.
Well, and the other challenge is you're making a decision, you know, right there on the spot.
Yeah.
And the public ramifications for the board, so to speak, letting something continue when the act is throwing it from the stage. And what are we supposed to do when they're in the middle of their
mm-hmm.
concert? Pull the plug?
Turn the power off?
Right?
Yeah.
That won't be popular
no.
for anybody.
No.
So I think you're spot on. Part of me says, you guys are both directors. You have been given delegated authority by the board during these events to use your best judgment. And that's your job, whether it's OLCC-regulated marijuana or alcohol. You guys are first point on there if
mm-hmm.
one of us isn't there. And, you know, how well you dispose of that judgment, and, that's just your own call. But as much as we can probably define this up front, you know, so far I haven't heard of anything that's been, you know, so egregious that it just, you know, the throwing from the stage has probably been the biggest one
mm-hmm.
since I've been in office, or 91's passed. It's not pleasant to hear that, but I think, did they have a bond?
They didn't have a bond. They had a $2,500 security deposit, which they lost the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he tried to come back, and we wouldn't allow it. We declined.
Yeah.
And failure to abide by his contract.
Yeah, I think that's grounds for...
That's probably the worst punishment you could is still find that he can't come back. $2,500 means nothing.
Right.
But the fact that you're blackballed.
We got it stopped. But still,
yeah.
it happened, and there's just things that happen on your grounds that you can't always catch that when it gets started.
What I would like my staff to do, and what I directed them for next year's BARTA fair, if we don't have a policy in place, their security did an amazing job taking care of everything that they saw and did, but I feel by telling people to put it away or to get rid of it, they're just now doing it out of eyes, and so I would like to take the approach of it's being confiscated, or you can leave our property immediately with it. Your choice, and that way it can't continue to happen as soon as you turn your back. But
that's
I don't
true.
Know, you know, how legal that
that's
is or where we
that's
should.
That's a better balance for, you know, people who go to this with an expectation, but that really goes back to the event coordinator. Like, I don't want to
yeah.
be around that, so what's going on? You know, I paid to be here like everybody else. This is an illegal thing you should take care of, and yet it continues.
Mm-hmm.
The onus really should be on the event person.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't like us being the bad guy, you know. It should be them.
We just need to spell it out very clearly going in, so that you know when he goes, "Oh, you already told me that."
Yeah.
I think it needs to be very, very clear. And it sounds like you've done that in the past. You will have. Everybody's going to test the water.
I would recommend that it's not just no drugs, no alcohol, no tobacco, whatever you say specifically, no marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
As some believe there's not a drug involved.
Yeah.
So you have to delineate it separately.
I agree.
But, I mean, what if there's signs required at the entrance to events?
Mm-hmm.
That as your entry point, it says it clearly.
Well, especially if there's a
anybody found in possession will be asked to leave immediately. You know, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about at your entrance and also maybe on the ticket or whatever they buy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. It almost goes to, you know, when you drive into that county and you're caught, you know, with a DUI, you lose your car. You know, you lose, if you're caught with it, you're going to lose it and you're going to be asked to leave.
Fair warned.
So I think signage is a very good recommendation that reinforces it. Also making sure that that, you know, just the signage is maybe standard and we provide it. So,
sure.
You know, here
so
the,
we've all got it at all different places.
Here are the 4x4s that go up on either side of the entrance, and it's our language mm-hmm. based on board order, blah, blah, blah.
Right. It needs to say that.
Well, it would apply to all the events, I think. I mean, I'm saying we could
yeah,
put sign up.
It's pretty much just Selmec and the fair, Indian Mary.
Oh, I bet we're going to start having pop up everywhere. I could see Tom Pierce being the next target.
All
just
county
fix.
Parks. All, yeah. I'm sorry, all county properties.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say cover it all so there's no gray area there.
Yeah.
You know, Whitehorse, you're making Whitehorse a lot nicer and you never know what's going on down there. And
so the kicker is if you change something in that, you have to change all the signs. And these signs are not cheap. They're probably $250 a piece if you have them done by Public Works.
Well, I could see it not necessarily for my parks being a permanent sign, but when there's a temporary event, we put up special signs just for that. So we would only really need two or three that we move when we need to. You could clearly have just a permanent one, but.
Well, and I've got, you know, those cardboard ones that I can have. This
yeah.
gentleman I works with,
pretty,
put those up, that you take them
cheap,
right down.
Yeah.
To,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Maybe cool. those plastic cardboard things,
mm-hmm.
that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
those corrugated things work
fairly
well
cheap.
For me.
I think that'd be fairly cheap if you're gonna take them down. They don't wear real well in the weather.
Well, we just need to make sure that this administrative rule says you have a bunch of stuff highlighted there. Do you want to need, this
that,
is the.
That is what we're, I think I've covered it just kind of as a nutshell that.
You don't have any additional.
No, I think that I would like to just.
The italics down there for me is the language that should go into the contract.
Yeah.
And I think the bond at $500 is too cheap. I don't know what it should be, but that seems like chump change.
I agree with not.
If I want to light up right here, I can write you a check for $500 if I really wanted to. That's it.
Well, Peggy's security deposit was $2,500. Is that
mm-hmm.
consistent? Do you charge that?
For any events out in the grandstands.
So if we go $2,500, mm-hmm. it's even
that
across the board,
like
so you're not picking on me.
Doesn't that seem cheap?
It does.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean,
we certainly can change that. That's just what we've done out in the grandstand.
What's it based on?
The size of the property, and that we have to patrol it more.
But I mean, why it's so low?
What? Yeah. What's the justification?
Well, our regular through the county, our regular deposits are only like $200 on a building. So, we're not. You know, we'd need to look at all of our building deposits as well. But the grandstand's 25.
You know the potential.
But we have events even in the pavilion. We have gun knife shows, and you know, and there's stuff.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We're not. We're talking about at the grandstand,
right?
The concert.
Probably because they have insurance to cover any real damage, and
right.
so that's
well, they have to have insurance.
Yeah, that's just to help as a holder.
We have insurance,
insurance
on everybody.
Covers everything
we
else.
We don't do anything without
it. So an event is required for a security deposit.
Have an amount and or a percentage depending on the event.
Of a deposit.
Yeah.
Ryan, you want to come up here and repeat
it's
that? So
to,
it's on.
It's hard to forecast a percentage of an event's revenue. I was just, I got the call on the mass gathering, sir, for instance, at the Southern Oregon Air Academy. He said, oh, we're going to have 1,000 people there. And I said, no, you're not. You have no idea how many people you're going to have there. How many people do they have there? Four?
Yeah.
I mean,
250, 300.
So had he filled out a mass gathering for what the threshold, say 1,000, and he had half that, why would he?
He didn't even get half that.
Why would I
But
pay?
It was rainy and cold, so that made
Yeah,
difference.
The time of year may have been. But you know what I mean? So it's really hard to forecast. Then we're going to be giving them back if they.
But then on the events that they have every year, they probably could see what's coming. And rather than have that 250
mm-hmm.
or 2500, you could say it's.
Then it'd be proportional.
Just have it at the county's
discretion. For size of anticipated.
Okay, that was Ryan Johnson speaking.
Yeah, so for me, I agree not to advocate, not to encourage, not to allow. Absolutely, those should stick. And then a further clarification on if the restriction is violated. Is that simply if we find one person doing it? Is it if the event fails to act a certain way? I would say in advertising, if they're not following through with things properly, we can just pull our plug and sever the contract prior to the actual event, which is normal.
That's a contract.
Yeah, but then on the grounds of the day of.
It just has to be something punitive, I would imagine. That's big enough for them to enforce it. And picking, maybe it's not 500, maybe it's not 5,000, maybe it's 2,500. Still seems pretty painless, you know.
Yeah. To a promoter, if he's going to, $2,500 is a lot of money.
It is when they're putting it, when they have to pay for everything up front.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, but it's a roll of the dice. It's like everything else. I've done a whole bunch of promotion in my day, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Some days you get a really bad day and you take a bath, but you know what? It's the way it is.
But it's refundable. You know.
It's refundable, but they're also having to pay to rent the grounds on top of that. So,
I think 2,500 is as low as I'm willing to go.
Right.
So,
I think 2,500, and it's you've done that before and not gotten a bunch of kickback, correct?
No, correct.
So, why? Yeah. Because
even in the one situation they lost the deposit, that was it.
2,500? Are you?
I'm not going to be in the amount of setting the amounts. I think that should be based on some other calculation than us. Flying from our hips.
I would like to see it based on either the location or kind of the proposed size of the event, only because for some of my events, they're small. We're talking about barbecue blues and brews put on by the Rogue Humane Society and what bond they're going to have to meet.
Yeah.
So maybe different
this
steps or standards based on.
Order.
You want like a tier?
This isn't all of it.
Sure.
This is a marijuana-themed statute, and it's right on the cusp of the whole application requirements. Guidelines and procedures.
And that's what I would recommend, is that this isn't just for marijuana-themed events, because we have concerts coming in all of the time where they say it is a music festival. Nowhere on the poster does it show marijuana. Nowhere on the website does it show marijuana.
But it's there.
It's there.
It has the potential for being there, and
but
so
it
do
the
their vendors.
Putting on a music festival? Because it's not Country Crossings. I mean, there's a difference.
Yeah.
The barter fair was set up with the intent of bartering, you know, historically, that surplus in a non-monetary sense. I mean,
it's just a three-night camp out with live music and vendors. Yes.
There isn't any, you know, I went to the Country Crossings and it's camp there, but I've been to the Cape Blanco. There really isn't any marijuana being consumed in public.
Yeah.
So that isn't a crowd that's predisposed, but it's challenging to make that assessment. I get it's so much easier to just say, you know, this is what it is for everybody. But at $500, I mean, if that's your minimum and that's what you're going to apply to everything, or how is it tiered?
Yeah. Maybe if it is marijuana themed, there's a higher rate. If it's a music festival, there is a rate. And then if it's just a smaller regular event, yes, they still have to agree to the policy, but with a very much, with just our regular security deposit.
I think we're making sausage here. I struggle with that.
I'd like to see it like a three-tiered thing, you know, like you say, for small, medium, and large. Marijuana themed is the maximum. You actually say, okay, we're going to be such and such and such and such, and it's marijuana themed, then it's X number.
But we don't allow marijuana themed events. I mean, it's
right.
We don't.
Yeah, no, not technically. And everybody I've talked to said that they are not a marijuana themed event.
No. So okay. There's never going to be that, oh, yeah, we are. Yeah. But that's not going to happen.
No. Okay.
Unless you're looking at, there is a, you know, marijuana expo that happens over at the fairgrounds in Josephine County, and yes, they could be proposing to come on your property, but I think they're very few and far between.
Would those be taken on a case-by-case basis if it is?
I think.
Marijuana, can you do that? Someone says, yeah, we're going to have a marijuana expo.
We talked about, you know, having an expo on the cannabis industry and showcasing the latest, greatest trimmer or whatever. But
I think they would just all have to meet the same requirements about the non-consumption, about the non-actual product and stuff. So at the core, it's still the same.
So if the CBD level is so low, or are they calling it hemp, so it's not marijuana? And they get passed out those samples?
Sure. Those are federally legal. As long as the THC is under 3%, 2%. It's industrial hemp, so that's been legal since 14. I don't know. It doesn't feel like this is all that far off, and maybe we, you know, if the $500, but this, I still come back to this is marijuana.
We could take that out of the subject.
If we can't call it.
Because this does apply, I mean, if we look down at section 3.0A, it's all applications for events.
Yeah.
So if it's distracting. Just take out marijuana use.
I don't think marijuana themed is appropriate, because it's just flat out on all county properties. Any event is not allowed for.
If you just take out and just call it marijuana use on county property.
Correct.
I mean.
That might be.
That's straightforward.
Okay.
Because I think it's, because it's written that way, we're just getting hung up on the title.
People can get caught up on, well, it wasn't themed. We're not calling it themed. We're saying no marijuana product on county property.
Yes, that's what it says.
Okay, well, let's move this. If there's anything that anybody needs to add, we'll do it before Thursday. And then we'll move it to the next WBS.
Get you an updated draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, those two whereases.
We got the two whereases for the order, and then we're going to remove use from the title.
Great.
Yes?
Great.
Is that going to cover all the bases?
Thank you for covering this.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Really.
If not,
we need this.
Yeah. If you could send me a draft when you have it too, just for glance, I'd appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
Great.
Thank you both.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Are you both on the website thing?
Website thing.
Never mind.
Oh, yes.
See you tomorrow.
Correct.
Okay. We're done with item number one, and we are ready to go into executive session. Today is Tuesday, March 27, 2018, and it is 2:27 p.m. The Dorset County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session to review the agenda items 2A through 2E. Item 2A is lease of county property at 10821 Galise Road, Merlin, Oregon, with Galise Community Association, ORS 1926602E. Item B is county real property auction. Timeline, ORS 1926602E. Item 2C is R. Bruce Terrell and Denise Terrell versus Josephine County, LUBA number 2018024-ORS 1926602H. Item 2D is confidential memo regarding indemnifying public officials, ORS 1926602F. And E is security for county offices and courthouse, ORS 1926602F, ORS 1923458 and 23. So let's open it up, Wally, to 2A.
Yes.
Hold on. The recorder will now be turned off at what time?
The recorder will now be turned off at 2:28.
And we'll be coming back. No decisions will be made.
Yep. No decision will be made in executive session. At the end of executive session, the board will return to open session and welcome the audience back in the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 2:29.
Go ahead.
Okay. We are back in session at 3:43 p.m. and adjourned.
There's one other item. So just to clarify.
Sorry.
So we talked about moving on the lease to move forward with some amendments in the lease, but to negotiate a new lease?
Yes.
As far as the auction proceeding with the timeline presented?
And there's going to be a meeting on Thursday among the principals that are involved.
Okay. As far as the LUBA appeal, as far as moving forward with what we need to do with that, we will be asking... suggesting an extension to make sure we can get the full record.
Yes.
And then we had discussion on the other two items, and we're going to be bringing back further discussion after more information is received.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
So the last item is matters from commissioners.
Oh, matters from commissioners.
I guess for me, I have a question about procedure. Last week we had executive session, and then the next day, most of what was, a lot of the information was, not everything, but was in the paper and then all over Facebook. So I know that at one level, opposing counsel was notified of details, which I don't know what's normal in legal practice, but to me, to notify opposing counsel before we've actually done something seems a little interesting, especially because it was posted all over Facebook and published in other various forms. So I guess I'm just clarifying. I was surprised because we're all intentional not to talk about executive session outside of session.
Well, we are the only people in the body that have the discretion to divulge executive session information. That's it. Unless delegated to anybody else at any other time, nobody else but the board, policy, governing body, knows the rules. So I've talked to Councillor Hicks about this, and I think disclosing like a confidential memo, and that everybody who's confidential employees signs, it's good practice that we have that, and it clearly delineates about the confidential information that we may be sharing in the board's office, anywhere. And it should be disclosed about what that entails. And I think that would be really, really helpful to just brush up on, you know, there's a difference between our...
Let me call you right back.
Our staff, anybody else's. So I think that'd be helpful.
Well, I just didn't know what the normal process is for opposing counsel, because opposing counsel clearly has no level of confidentiality and level of ethics.
I would have reservation about giving opposing counsel a game plan.
Well,
that's what I've heard about.
So back to
the
original.
Why don't you just invite him in?
We're the only ones who can. If you need to and want to, the board has to be asked, not an individual commissioner. We don't have delegation authority individually, only as a governing body. So, you know, if somebody needs to say, hey, I think it, you know, I've got a good working relationship with so-and-so, I think it would be in the county's best interest, is it okay? That should be discussed here in executive session, and then when we come out, we say we've delegated Augustus authority to talk to so-and-so about item B and C. That's it. Done. I think that's...
I just was surprised. I didn't know how the best way to follow up, so I just figured I'd ask. It's our first chance. We've all seen each other, so I hadn't chance to ask about it, so...
Okay. Anything else? Nothing here. We are adjourned now at 3:47. Thank you.